It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. It is, I know that it is we're living through an era of chaos. And chaos is the thing that is the water that we're swimming in now. And today's guest has written a book on this very topic, on and what a leader can and should do in this moment, called Capitalizing on Chaos. Rob Kalvarowski is with us today. He is an author, an executive coach, and his forthcoming book is all about the executive's guide to succeed in disruption. Rob, welcome to Great Mondays Radio. Super excited to have you on. Talk to me. What are we talking about when we're talking about chaos? There's so many different types of chaos here that we're living through. What are you specifically getting into here?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Josh. Well, chaos is around us and it's actually at unprecedented levels. So there's a stat out there called the World Uncertainty Index, and it tracks, basically, it's some version of a count, how many times a word like uncertainty is used in government documents around the world. And since the fall of 2024, I won't say why, it has taken off like a SpaceX rocket.
Right.
But we can see this all around us, right? Politically, economically, with AI, there's tons of layoffs. There's like a lot of companies now aren't issuing guidance because they don't know what's going to happen with a lot of these policies. And then on the other side, you know, for folks out there, right? It's like we also have this internal chaos that can be happening, whether, you know, we're struggling with our partners at home or, you know, our own financial situation or a health situation or our kids or whatever's going on. It's really both. And the most important lesson is, in order for us to capitalize on chaos, we need to first start with what's going on inside our own minds and bring peace and tranquility inside, so then we can navigate in the best way possible.
So this is how we as individuals, whether it's at home or in society or at work, how we contend with the chaos, how to sort of this, you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you respond. Is that kind of the thread here?
Yes, because chaos puts us in stress.
Yeah.
And it's basically, you know, comes back from when we evolved, when there was uncertainty or things that were happening that we hadn't seen before. We're going, how do we survive? And what that triggers is what's known as an amygdala hijack, which puts us into the fight and flight response. For folks out there, there's also a freeze and fawn as part of that, four Fs. But what that does is it shuts down your executive functioning of your brain. So you cannot use logic, you cannot problem solve, you cannot innovate, you cannot do these things. And that actually turns us into bad leaders. And obviously in the book, we'll talk about those bad leaders and what types they are. But those like stress responses turn us into bad leaders, which create toxic work environments for whole companies. And that's really at the root of why I'm here, is in order for us to become great leaders and create great Mondays for folks,
yeah,
we need to first start with ourselves, so then we can show up as a great leader, which will naturally percolate, you know, and go through our organizations.
So we're facing this experience where surprises jump out at us from around every corner. And it's interesting what you were describing, as it hadn't occurred to me when you said companies have stopped issuing guidance because they don't know. I feel like we've been talking, or at least I've been sort of seeing this shortening of, you know, like, oh, we used to be able to plan for 2 years, and then it's, you know, a year, and then 2 months and 2 quarters. And so what occurs to me now is they're at this moment, it's so extreme, we don't even know what is happening this quarter, like what could possibly happen. And so when we get surprised with something that we don't expect definitively, then our body is going to go into that mode. So how then, and specifically, I mean, I guess, do the principles that you're espousing, the constructs that you're sharing and teaching in your book, do they work both in at work and outside of work? Is this something that we can use in all aspects of our lives?
Yeah, because your brain follows you everywhere.
Your brain that's going to be the
right?
quote.
An example I give, just an example anytime, right, is like, just imagine you're driving down the highway and you get cut off by some car and the guy flips you the bird, right?
Yeah.
It's like naturally, like, we get mad, right? And like, you know, some people will swear or will hit the steering wheel or something, right? And it's like, that's chaos that turns us into one type of bad boss.
Yeah.
But it's not that we're being a bad boss to anyone. It's literally we're being a bad boss to ourselves in that moment.
Yeah. Okay. So how do we thrive in chaos? How do we start with the individual? How can you prepare for something that you don't expect?
Yes, this is the nuts and bolts question, right? And ultimately what this is developing trust in yourself. You can navigate anything. Why? Because you've done it before. And so when you feel those feelings of fear, it's okay. I got this. I can figure this out. Because most of the time, the chaos is not going to kill us, right? Like, okay, yeah, there are moments like, I don't know, like if that car cuts you off really dangerously, yeah, it could. Or like, you know, you've decided to go, swimming off the Cape of South Africa with all the great white sharks, right? Like, that's natural fear. Do not try to override those things, right? Because obviously they're very dangerous. But in the case of, like, I was talking to one of my clients a few weeks ago, and he runs a manufacturing company, and obviously the tariffs has affected the cost of his business. And he said to me, Rob, how do I navigate, like, being in tune with the news so I know how, like, what's coming down the pipeline, and if I need to adjust, and ultimately the cost of my goods, versus when I get too far into that, I'm thinking about, well, maybe I have to put all this money aside for my kids and my family. Mm-hmm. I got to pull back from spending everything. Mm-hmm. And I got to, you know, all those defensive things. And ultimately, the answer is the same. It's you're looking at a situation and the fear is extreme. And it's extreme because we've been evolved this way. But the context has changed. And that's the key point, is you can say, hey, I'm an adult. I've navigated life all to this point, and I can figure out whatever's going to happen next.
How do you build? Okay, so that's the, to me, that's the cognitive awareness. Hey, you have been able to, you've made it through things like this before. So what, that's sort of the knowing part. Now we're talking about the next is sort of prepping for the feeling and the doing. How do I move from that? Because I'm still jump scare, right? Like I'm still like, oh crap, right? I'm coming from a place of fear. How do I actually prepare myself for that? As beyond, is there a way to prepare? This is the question. Is there a way to prepare for that aside from, and then, okay, I'm sure we can get through this. The problem that I see is, and the reason why I think we are all feeling this is because it feels uncommon, unprecedented. These are things that haven't happened before, right? If you're like, oh, you know, as I've gotten more experience in my own career, I've seen these things. I can see the patterns and I'm like, okay, I know it's not as bad as it's going to be or as great as it's going to be. But now we're getting hit with all sorts of things and I don't know what's going to happen. How do I prepare myself for that?
And that's the beauty of the deeper work, right? And so it's once you start to cultivate that level of self-trust, then whatever happens, it doesn't matter, right? And I'll give you a great example. So in 2023, my wife and I moved down to Costa Rica, where we are today, if you're watching this on video.
That's right. If you're on YouTube, you can see his amazing background, which is totally real.
And we had never been to Costa Rica before, but we took four suitcases and our dog, and we got on a plane and we flew down and we were like, we're gonna do it. And I didn't feel like, oh my God, this is scary. Oh my God, the world's ending. I'm not going to be able to figure this out. It was like, okay, we'll find somewhere to live. If we don't, we can stay in a hotel. If that goes crazy too, like there's always an ability to get back on a plane and fly back to Canada, right? And so it's, but that took the deeper work to get to that point. And so with the book, there's nothing I can tell you in the next 60 seconds that's going to help you do this real time.
Yeah.
But it's the more that you lean in, the more that you'll be able to develop this as a skill. It's like going to the gym, right? And when someone's like, let's say, you got to go in your backyard and move this big rock. Well, if you've been at the gym, like the rocks, you're going to move the rock. But if you haven't been working out, it's going to be hard to move the rock.
So the example that you just gave, where you went through, you sort of pre-planned, or not even planned, right? Just revealed for yourself what I would call contingencies. And when we think about the opportunities or the potential threats, I mean, is it really essentially pre-budding the things that might happen? Are we really talking about a mini exercise in sort of future, sort of predictions around what may or may not happen? Is that part of it? Am I reading too much into
That is not part of it.
it?
Because ultimately, we don't know, right?
Right.
The key is it's getting out of the fear so we even have access to the possibility of thinking about what happens, like what I could possibly do.
Yeah.
And so it's not even, you don't even need to explore that because your brain's going to take you down some rabbit hole that's never going to happen likely, and it's going to be far worse than the most logical outcome. But it's like, even for people listening, right? It's like, imagine you're going to go ask for that promotion that you wanted, or you're going to apply to that stretch job, or you're going to reach out to that person on LinkedIn because you saw their post and you're like, hey, they sound really interesting. I'd love to chat with them for 20 minutes. Most of us feel that fear. it's the fear of rejection, or it's the fear of, hey, maybe I'm not good enough, or it's not going to work for me, or whatever that is, right? In that moment, there's your opportunity for success. Because naturally, most of the time, we go, oh, well, we just won't do that.
Mm.
But it's if we can cultivate and say, hey, you know what? I got this. It's going to be okay. If that person says no, fine. Like, it's going to be fine.
Mm.
And then we could take that step. That's when the magic happens.
What is likely to happen when I do go into that fear space? Because no matter how much I'm going to practice and go to the gym, there's always going to be that moment. What are some things that when my amygdala does hijack me, right? Like, what might happen?
This is when you go into those four F responses.
Yeah.
Fight, flight, fawn, or freeze. And I'll give folks some hacks. So some great ways to get out of that. There's boxed breathing. So you can basically, it's inhale 4, hold 4, exhale 4, and hold 4. And obviously go on YouTube and you can Google it.
Yeah. This is a great tool for sure.
That's a great one. Another great one is, and I used to do this when I was having panic attacks, but it was like, get a bowl of water and fill it with ice cubes and stick your face in there for 30 seconds. And that will pull you out.
Is there a brain reset or something?
Yeah, well, it sucks the fear away from what you're thinking about into, oh my God, basically I'm going to die.
Oh,
got it. That's how your brain or your whatever nervous system responds.
Yeah.
And so then it's, you're not worried about, you know, applying to that job anymore. You're worried about, oh my, I'm going to freeze to death. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It actually is very effective though. You can Google this. It's like a very standard practice for folks who go to therapy or struggle with anxiety. It's a really good one. I'll give you a bonus. So I'll give this to you, Josh, and you can send this out in your newsletter. But I have a 2-minute track that I give to my clients, and it's breathing along with flexing muscles. And I'll give that to the folks listening. It's 2 minutes, and you can use it. And what I find with it when I use it is the flexing of the muscles really just makes me unable to think. Like I'm thinking mm-hmm. about my muscles and not about whatever. And you can use that as a way to just pull yourself out of any worry or, you know, even if you're mad or something, you can just use it to just pull it out of you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting. In your book, you talk about the destructive six, and these are different kinds of shitty bosses that are kind of out there in the world. You sort of dissect them and you do it from your own personal experience. Talk to me about how you're integrating this. Cause this is one of the sort of the key things I've known, you know, some of your work for a while, and the destructive six is sort of a theme. How does that integrate, or how does that relate to this, you know, thriving in chaos, capitalizing on chaos that you're writing about?
Yes. When your amygdala is hijacked and you fall into those four F categories,
yeah,
you will become a bad boss. And because I'm a research-backed guy, there's scientific research paper that talks about, that found, there are six different types of destructive leaders. Now, where I go with this, because I coach folks using internal family systems, is the six of those leaders are all within us.
Mm.
Now, you will naturally not default to all six. You'll probably have 1 to 2, maybe 3 that are going to be your default settings. right? Like either you're going to become more aggressive or you're going to become cowardly or like a ghost manager. You're not really going to be both, right? But when we start learning about what those destructive six are, then we can start looking at, okay, which ones are more like me? And then that's when we can start changing our behavior because we can always unlearn patterns. And that's what changes our workplace and the cultures that we want to build.
It's so interesting that, like you've essentially turned this observation of others into an observation of self. And I think that is really what strikes me about the way that you frame this book, where previously we've talked and it's been about the outside world and how to deal with the outside world. But I feel like you've taken it up a level to this kind of how do I deal with myself first? Like these are all the things that I can work through on my own that I'll, these are the things that I can control. And that's what I think is so compelling about this. And it's sort of this intersection of the trend, this crazy trend of being in in a decade of absolute unknowns, and then coming right back to the self and understanding that this is what we can control. This is what I can control. I can always stick my head in a bucket of ice. I can always choose to treat others in a way that improves, right? Put out positive energy if we want to go there. That is, I think that's kind of why this idea sort of struck me. It's sort of the intersection of control and lack of control, maybe.
Yeah. And Josh, the reason I've put the focus that way is I had to learn it. And I had a bad boss in my first job, and it led to depression and a suicide attempt. And for a long time, I was thinking that no, the boss was wrong. And I'm not saying his behavior was acceptable. But what I learned on my journey was that for me, I needed to lead myself and like not turn into those amygdala hijacks because that would have led me to go, oh, you know what? I can just leave this organization. Right? Like I could just quit. And like, yeah, it's not, you know, like I was basically a fresh grad. I mean, I was a couple years out of college, right? And it's like I could have driven back and lived with my parents and nothing would have mattered, right? But it was like I literally had this moment where I attempted suicide on a Sunday night and I went to work on Monday. And I knew that environment was killing me. But I was stuck in this mindset of one of the destructive bosses, which is like, Rob, if you don't produce, you're nothing. And that was the internal chaos. Because on the outside, I had a six-figure job. It was stable. You know, like everything was wonderful. Well, you know, but now more than ever, when the chaos is around us, if we don't have that security inside, then we're looking at the news. Then we're looking on, you know, social media. Then we're watching, you know, the stock market, and we're just worried all the time. And that's not freedom. That's not happiness. That's not joy. And that's what I want folks more than anything to get is this was for me, this whole mission that I'm on now, it's not about like more productive workplaces, which you will get, or more profitable workplaces, which you also will get. It's that we can all be happier. And our well-being goes up. And there's a Stanford study out right now that says that the way that companies manage their people in the United States is the fifth leading cause of death. That's a problem, and that's why I do what I do.
Wow. That is a pretty intense stat that I was not expecting to hear. That's really interesting. Well, maybe we can go and find that. We'll put that in the show notes. I really appreciate you. Rob Kalvarowski, executive coach and author. His new book, Capitalizing on Chaos, is out in September. Go and sign up at his website. You can find out all about when the book comes out and get the announcement. Head over to Rob Kalvarowski. Let me write it for you. I'll put it in the show notes. RobKalvarowski.com/book. Rob, amazing. Thank you for sharing some of your hard-earned wisdom with us today on Great Mondays Radio.
Thanks for having me, Josh, and I look forward to next time.
Pura vida. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays, and you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.